You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Anfield Index podcast. I'm Trev Denny. You know where I am. Rural Ireland, which is actually a little bit sunny for once today. Things are looking up. I might actually get to plant some spuds because I'm that guy. I'm joined tonight by Cam Branch and by Lisa Marie Hanahan, which means the gang's all here. We had planned an extended gang. We had hoped to have a new man in as part of our crew, and that will hopefully happen next week. Some technical difficulties have scuppered that, alas, for this evening. I won't mention anything. We'll keep it as a surprise for next week.
New.
But new, maybe. Maybe slightly. Maybe I may be sort of confusing the issue.
Refresh.
It will be a familiar face to those of you who have been with the channel from the beginning, or familiar voice at least. Lisa Marie, can I ask you something?
Why, absolutely, Trev, yes.
Would you tell me what episode number this is?
381.
It is 381. Very yes. Good, Sam.
Look, it breaks.
Which champion strikes again?
It would have been more impressive if you had known the episode that I was not on, that the two of you were on, if you'd gotten that one right. But, you know, whatever. Yes, 381.
Wow. This has really stuck in your craw, hasn't it? Wow.
The shame.
You didn't hear Brenchy bleeding when you and I did two or three episodes together, did you?
No. It was not that you did the episode without me. I absolutely understood that. My point is, no one stepped in to know the episode number when I wasn't here.
Yeah, but that's because that's clearly
your domain.
Yes, we can't. You can't expect us to be able to podcast and remember numbers, damn it. You're the multitasker. We've been told by you and several others of your gender that we can't multitask. That's only you guys who can do it. So, you know, I know my place. I know my place, and I'm happy to admit that I like to hand over the dual responsibility of both talking and thinking to the only person on the crew who can do it. So I'm delighted that you do step up to the mark. And Cam, I want to say to you as well, my friend, I was talking to a few people about the show, and I spoke to, I think it was three different people over the last week who were listeners to our show. It was three separate people, one in real life and two online. And they were, it came up, it was really weird. I'm having a lot of synchronicities lately, but it came up that in the course of our conversation with all three people, they said, you know, something about, oh, well, you and Brainchy, big pals, you know, do you see each other a lot? And I said, never actually met the lad, never met the lad. And, you know, all three were like, serious? Because, you know, you're taking the piss out of each other. It seems like you really know each other well. And I said, yeah, well, we do. We've been talking for a long time. Like, we've probably put in more hours than a lot of people do with, you know, people that they meet in real life on the regular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you get to know people talking. But I just thought it was a really strange coincidence that I would share with you. We have a lot of Liverpool-related stuff to get cracking into. So how about, if it's okay with you guys, we start with the big story of the day, which is the Europa League draw and how we feel about that. Because we did kind of touch on this briefly on our last chat, and what we would like or what we prefer, and, you know, dream ties and all the rest of it. So as it breaks down, the final, the quarterfinal groupings are Liverpool, Atalanta, Milan, Roma, Leverkusen, West Ham, Benfica, Marseille. Now, did either of you see the draw, and do either of you know if we are now in a set pattern for the semi-finals? Because I feel incredibly ill-prepared. This is mainly because I am very ill at the moment. I have a chest infection. I have a migraine for which I'm receiving daily treatment. And I also have an ear infection. So I am a shell of a human. So you'll have to forgive my unpreparedness. Do either of you know if there is a set pattern to this now, that, in other words, quarterfinal A will go against quarterfinal D in the semis or anything like that? Do we have a shape to this draw yet, or is there going to be another semifinal draw?
No, I believe there is a shape to it. And again, I have been very busy work-related stuff today, but just the little bit that I've scrolled through Twitter, my understanding is, yes, there is a shape to it.
There is. I've got the shape here.
Do you have it, Auguste? Give me a minute, I'll pull it up. But Cam's beat me to it. He's just on the ball today. He knows the episode number. He's ready with the draw.
Well, when you get abused on them earlier in the day, you tend to get sharp. But,
Yeah.
Right. So semi-final one will be the winner of Benfica Marseille and Liverpool Atlanta.
And so we are looking at a potential semi against Benfica and or Marseille. And that means then that the other one is going to
be Leverkusen, Milan, Roma, West Ham.
Okay, so if we were to leverage what we know so far, it's going to be Leverkusen getting past West Ham, because they pulled off a bit of a miracle last night with a late winner over Karabag. And they're going to play the winners of Milan or Roma, which you'd imagine they'll get past as well. We have Atalanta, which we will be hoping that we can get past. And then we meet either Benfica or Marseille, which we would hope we could get past. So the dream final that everyone wanted is possible still, is what we're saying here. Is that correct?
It's on the cards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I will still insist that it's not my dream final. I would much prefer that Karabag had got through and we got a chance to play Karabag in the final, and they had just spent all their efforts getting there and we beat them 10-0. I've no interest in a tremendous match or a memorable occasion. I just want us to win the freaking thing at this stage. It's really getting more and more important to me with each one. Again,
well, I said it before, didn't I? I didn't want Leverkusen in a one-off. I feel in a one-off they can do anything.
You did. And by the way, that's a fair point, and it remains a fair point, because they do seem to be working several miracles here. I'm just hoping that it's going to be a big effort for them to stay where they are in terms of holding off any opposition that might come from Bayern. But it just seems as if they've almost got that in the bag already. It's a remarkable achievement, you'd have to say. Our opposition is Atalanta, who, as I speak, are currently in sixth position in Serie A, just behind Roma, a point behind Roma. And Milan, who are potential opposition for us, because they are in the other half of the draw, aren't they? Isn't that what we said?
Well, let me get back up.
Benfica,
So Milan, Roma, and Leverkusen, West Ham in the other half, yeah.
Right, so Milan, who could potentially be opponents for us, are in the second place in Serie A, but they have no chance of overhauling Inter. They're, it looks like at the moment, 16 points behind. That's not going to happen. So they will have very little to play for except the Europa League. Second place obviously might be a big deal for them, but there are four Champions League places in Italy, so I don't think it's going to be that much of a worry. In fourth place currently, the team behind them in fourth place is 7 points behind. So I'm beginning to think that this is going to be huge for Milan, and that's actually interesting. That might make them even more favourites than Leverkusen, depending on where Leverkusen's title challenge is at, to come through from that half of the draw. I don't know a whole lot about Atalanta, but I'll just tell you what I do know, which is that in their recent games, obviously they got past Sporting in the Europa League, and that's how they got through here. They had a 2-2 draw with Juventus, which is very creditable. Bologna beat them 2-1. Inter spanked them 4-0. They actually had a 1-1 draw with the aforementioned Milan. And the last time they had a win was a 3-0 in the league. I mean, it was a 3-0 over Sassuolo, who are second from bottom in the league. So I don't know. I think most people, Lisa Marie, would see this as a favourable draw. We're not writing anyone off, and Atalanta get full respect. We have to see them play. But I guess if you were to say, did Liverpool do okay today? The fact that our second leg is at home as well, this is good, right?
It is the second leg at home. I heard it was away.
We were home first.
Ah, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's my lack of preparation coming up again. Ah, okay. So we have the second leg in Atalanta. All right. Okay. Well, scratch that. Go back to the question.
New question.
Does it still seem like a comparatively favorable draw to you to be playing the sixth place team in Serie A?
I think so. I mean, I felt that we could beat anybody in the draw, you know, regardless. I'm not going to lie, I would prefer that the second leg was at Anfield, but I still think our chances are very good to get past them at Atlanta and move on. So
you would worry, wouldn't you, about this thing that Cam's mentioned? I want to give you a run at this particular question, because I don't think we did have this conversation, you and I, the last time. When you look at Xabi Alonso's Leverkusen, some 10 points ahead of the absolute behemoth that is Bayern Munich. I mean, to say it's a remarkable turn of events is an understatement. I think 57 points for Bayern Munich does represent underachievement for them, for sure. So there's a part of that there. But nonetheless, Leverkusen are 10 points ahead of them. It's a stunning achievement, and it's starting to look, if not quite a procession to a league title, but it's starting to look like they're going to get there with a degree of comfort. That does worry the shit out of me. If they're that good, obviously I don't see them on the regular. Cam says he's seen them a little bit, but it does very much look as if that's the way things are pointing. If we play to our potential, we should come through quarter and semi. And then if they play to their potential, so should they. And then, you know, it does look like that mouth-watering prospect for neutrals, not so much for us, Lisa Marie.
No, I think, of course, you know, I mean, Yes, while they're doing very well in the Bundesliga, they scraped through by the skin of their teeth last night. So, I mean, you have to, you know, and I don't know enough about them. What my knowledge of Leverkusen is pretty much based on listening to Dave Hendricks' podcasts. I mean, I have not watched them play. So I really don't, you know, I can't say anything with any sort of confidence about, you know, players that are injured or, you know, or anything other than I know that they're, you know, running away currently with the Bundesliga and they won last night by the skin of their teeth. So you wonder if, are they, you know, focusing on, you know, their league and winning the league title versus, you know, the Europa League? Yeah. You know, who knows? We can all speculate. But I still like our chances because you know me, Trev. It's possible until it's not possible. So let's go.
Well, it's very much where I land on this as well. I don't see any point anymore. There was a big chunk of my life where I was a natural pessimist, but I just actually see it as pointless now. I used to look at it as kind of, well, if you're already disappointed, then you can't be more disappointed. But that's bollocks because you just get more disappointed anyway. So now I just stay as chirpy as I possibly can until life kicks me in the nuts. Like it has done quite a bit in the last week, the fucker. But Cam, I had something that I wanted to bring up with you on this particular subject of the draw, where we're at, all the rest of it. First of all, to get your take on Atalanta and whether you consider it a favorable one of the more favorable ones we could have got, whether the away leg or the second leg being away is actually an issue now that I wasn't aware of. Also then I wanted to get your take on Leverkusen. Would you just redefine why it was, as the person of the three of us who has more familiarity with them, that you didn't want to play them over a sort of theoretical 90 minutes as opposed to two legs? What was it about what you've seen of them that made you think they would pose a threat, apart altogether from the obvious thing? Like Lisa Marie says, she doesn't have a familiarity with them. I don't. But we don't need to have familiarity to see that they're ahead of Bayern Munich by 10 points and winning the Bundesliga at a canter. So they're bloody good, right?
Yeah, it's as simple as that. They are bloody good. I mean, they're really good defensively. They've only conceded 16 goals in 25 games in the league this year. And when your defence is as strong as that, I don't know what they're like in terms of the number of shots they're conceding. But you would imagine they're not conceding an awful lot of shots. We are a very creative team, so that is in our favour. I mean, we had, 19 shots against Man City on Sunday? No team does that to Man City without being good. And we're not even a full-strength team at the moment. So their play, their ball retention, their movement, their passing of breaking of the lines, it's really good. It's high quality. And when you're up against a team like that, that is really brave in possession. You're going to have trouble against them. You really are going to have trouble. We will need to be on our A game. Yeah, we are looking four games ahead right now before we get to that point. But I honestly expect it to be, if the stars align, unfortunately, for me, that we will be playing Leverkusen in the final. I don't see us struggling too much against Atlanta. They've lost 9 games in the league this season. And, you know, that tells you that they're not the strongest team, but they're 6th in the Italian league, and you've got to respect the Italian league. It's a tough league. But I don't see Atlanta being that difficult for us. I honestly thought Sparta Prague would give us a good run for our money, you know, being top of the Czech league. But and they did create a lot of opportunities in both games, but, you know, poor finishing and poor defending on their part cost them ultimately. You know, nobody could have imagined we would have been 4-0 up in 15 minutes last night. You know, that was down more to how poor Prague were with the ball and how lethal we were for once in our finishing. So, yeah, Atalanta, I don't see being a problem. Leverkusen in the final, will be squeaky bum time.
Can I run something past you here? Because unless I'm mistaken, there was a couple of potential big narratives here. I think Atalanta got past Sporting Lisbon. Isn't that correct? That's who they were up against in terms of needing to get to this next stage, right? In the round of 16. And Sporting Lisbon's current manager, of course, we know is Ruben Amorim, who's heavily linked with the Liverpool job. Xabi Alonso manages, as we know, Leverkusen, who's heavily linked with the Liverpool job. But there are increasingly big stories coming and breaking. Jan Mulby was talking about German journalists he spoke to on the show during the week who seemed to have a sort of a resignation because they wanted him to come to Liverpool, that he would go to Bayern. And I just find that usually Bayern get what Bayern want. So that's a bit of an interesting one, that our potential managers were both involved in this last round. Now, things may all change. We're going to talk in a little bit about the return of Laptop Mick. Maybe there'll be a whole new look at how managerial candidates are chosen. But it was an interesting one, wasn't it, Cam, that we could have potentially been facing Sporting Lisbon and Amorim, as well as potentially then afterwards facing Xabi Alonso. Where are you sitting with the current thing? I know, and do hold off on the Edwards chat because we're going to get there. Where are you sitting currently with it in terms of what's your feeling on what have you been picking up on about the likelihood of either man being our manager? Does it really matter if we get a new setup in and we just get a very good competent fella in? Where are you landing with that in the last few weeks as things are going from strength to strength under Kloppo at the end here?
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
I just want Alonso. I'm not even considering Amorim. I just feel Alonso would be almost like another glove around the club, you know, like Klopp was. He was just a perfect fit. And I just feel it's the right progression. It's the natural progression. It just feels right to get Alonso in. Alonso would be afforded time if things weren't quite going the way they should be. Any other manager coming in will not be afforded that time. There'll be an impatience again because of how good we are right now. Right now, we're one of the top five teams in Europe again. You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think anybody could say any differently. I would fancy our chances against Real Madrid, PSG, Bayern Munich. We've shown we can go toe-to-toe with the best team in Europe right now, which is Man City. So any manager coming in is going to take over a set of players, a group of players that are doing, you know, playing phenomenally well. And if you get somebody who comes in and suddenly things start going slightly the wrong way, that pressure's just going to build. That pressure's going to build because the fan base, we're fickle, we're impatient. Yeah, if it was Alonso, he just afforded that time. He'll be allowed to breathe and grow into the role. And I think that is something that, you know, really needs to be considered by FSG and they need to do. They need to move heaven and earth to get Alonso or anything. I just can't think of anybody else who would work as well as him.
I fear that that's exactly what they may have to do because, like I say, Bayern don't tend to lose. especially not if they're poaching from their own country. Bayern tend to get what Bayern want. And they are either deliberately unsettling him and Leverkusen in an attempt to regain some ground in the title battle, or they're just signaling clearly what they want for next season, which is also very, very capable. They're very capable of that. It's a real viper's nest. They turn on people very quickly. If you're out, you are out. Tuchel is never going to last. And, you know, it's sort of dead man walking, but I would just really fear that they have, I don't know, some sort of extra pulling power. Because I think, Cam, just to finish this point, we might be in danger of overestimating the Xabi Alonso connection with Liverpool. Xabi Alonso went on to Real Madrid and Bayern Munich to great success. Mm. And really, in that portion of his career, established in the world view what he was as a player, who he was as a player. Yes, we have that magical Istanbul season and a couple of seasons afterwards until it started to go a little bit pear-shaped and Rafa decided that he was an asset that he could sell. You know, the whole Gareth Barry thing was a very real thing that was happening and Alonso started to feel very underappreciated. He's spoken about it. So I wonder, are we in danger of overly romanticizing the connection there? Maybe he feels just as strong a connection to Bayern Munich.
I mean, he probably does. I wouldn't be surprised about that in any way, shape or form. I mean, growing up, he was possibly a Real Madrid supporter. Real Madrid might be looking for a new manager this summer. And he may feel now is the right time for him and his family to go back home. But I just cling to the fact that his son was born in Liverpool. And there may be that little connection there that will draw him back in that respect, because he may want his son to see what a great place Liverpool is as well. And then he may feel that he's got all the time in the world to go back to Real Madrid. That may be his ultimate goal at the end of the day.
I think if you were to judge the projects on their merits, and I'll bring you in on this one, Lisa Marie, assuming Xabi Alonso is the golden boy who everybody wants and all these big jobs are coming available at the end of the season, you'll have, as Cam says, Real, likely, Bayern Munich, Liverpool. I mean, watch this space. You might even have Manchester United. But if you look at all these projects, it's kind of hard to deny what Cam was saying there earlier on. Klopp is leaving this club in a really good nick. And if we are now restructuring the management of the club and getting that overall sort of structure back and more effective than it currently is, it's hard to see how anyone could look at Liverpool and not think, yeah, that's probably the pick of the bunch. And I don't think that's rose-tinted spectacles, or am I wrong? How do you feel about that?
No, I think you're right. I think if someone were looking at the overall picture, I would think the Liverpool setup would be the front runner. If you're looking at it from that perspective of, well run, good, upper level management in place that is going to work with you and give you some grace and some leeway to kind of come in and set things up, your way. I think you're right. I think Liverpool would be, if I were ranking these various clubs, organizations that to me that would rank them number one, and be something that would, I think, very much be in their favor. I don't know the only thing I really know about Xabi Alonso is that he did play for, he played for Liverpool. And as you said, that he then went on to Real Madrid and then, Bayern. And I think I am a little bit afraid that, so the Real job isn't open this summer, but what if it's open next summer? Would he jump ship after a year? I don't know. I'm not saying he will, But I worry about that a little bit. You know, how loyal is he to, you know, to the club? You know, how much of that is going to be a factor for him, that, you know, Liverpool is a club with, you know, a place that he played and it means something to him. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying that it is, but I'm not saying that it, you know, I don't know him enough about him really, to venture a guess, but that's a little bit my fear is, you know, he does to me, I would not be in favor, again, looking at this management thing. I mean, how many managers is this now for Byron in the last few years? I mean, they seem to be kind of going through them like Chelsea, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, that would not necessarily be a setup that I would necessarily want to walk into, but you know, I don't, you know, I'm not managing, you know, I'm not a football manager. I don't know. But you know, Real always has very much a pull, for a number of reasons. And so that would be my worry with Xavi Alonso would be that, you know, he comes to Liverpool and next year the Real job is available and offered to him. Does he leave us, you know, after a year? Yeah, I don't know. That's just, this is so new to me anyway, because we've all talked, you know, we've mentioned this in the past, you know, Jurgen Klopp is the only manager I've known since I've followed the club. So this whole shift and change is, you know, is very unsettling in a way. I generally, when I start thinking about it, I just sort of file that under, I'm not going to think about that today. I'll think about it tomorrow, sort of thinking, and just try not to get myself, you know, I have confidence that the FSG is going to make a good decision, you know, and they'll just have to hope that, you know, all the rest of the chips fall in the right place.
Well, there are chips falling left, right, and center at the moment. That's for sure. It really is a time of great change at Liverpool. And
can I throw a spanner in the works? Sorry, Trev.
Oh yeah,
just on something Lisa Marie said. I don't want you to get too deep. If Xabi Alonso came for 1 year and left, what if Klopp then returned after that year?
Oh well. Well, that would be okay.
Yeah,
you can live with that. Yeah,
I could live with that.
Well, let's do that then. Let's make that happen.
I think everybody's secretly got that kind of a dream knocking around the back of their head. He's not
really, but it's a dream.
But it is. He is serious.
He's having a year off. He said he's not retiring.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not retiring. Yeah, but you know, we saw this happen.
And he said he won't go to any other English club. So you know, hope does spring eternal.
We saw this happen with him and with Guardiola previously. You know, that plan is to take a bit of time off, and then yeah, fuck it, the right job comes up, and they just do it. You know, Pep was having his New York spell, and Jurgen was, oh well, I've, you know, this emotional tie that I've had to Dortmund that, you know, is the most emotional thing of my life. Little did he know he was about to get into a thing that was even more emotional. I imagine he is exactly what he says. I imagine he is just exhausted. And I do fully expect him to take the full break. Then there are going to be some interesting projects available to him. He'll have his pick. And, you know, if there are any of those big jobs coming up, he'll be the chief candidate for them, possibly even ahead of Guardiola in some cases, because I think people will want to work with him, because they'll understand that even if they don't have the greatest squad in the world currently, he could possibly win them something with that squad, whereas Guardiola will not do that. It's an interesting situation we're in, and we just have to accept the reality of it for what it is. And it's very much been coloured in the week by the fact that we've heard about this much faded return of Michael Edwards to the club as a sort of sporting CEO. I've heard a couple of different terms, but basically here he is going to be the Fenway Sports Group Chief Executive of Football. That's basically, I think, the official title. Now, I was obviously enthused because of what Michael Edwards has done before at the club. But he's not coming back in the same capacity, and people need to understand that first and foremost. there will be an overseeing thing. His expertise, which has been sought after by all the biggest clubs in the world, will be back at Liverpool. This is all great stuff. And he was very much part of the success that we had in terms of winning big trophies. You'd have to be incredibly churlish not to be pleased about his return. Where I kind of worry about this is the nature of this new role. When asked about it, Mike Gordon, who he's kind of effectively taking over from in many ways, said he will take over responsibilities I've previously held regarding oversight and management of Liverpool FC's football operation, fulfilling a role that has been one of the greatest privileges of my life, and handing it over and returning it to a more traditional and returning to a more traditional role in ownership is something I've wanted to do, blah, blah, blah. Edwards, and this is the quote that I need you guys to react to. When he was asked, one of the first things and one of the most publicized quotes was, one of the biggest factors in my decision is the commitment to acquire and oversee an additional club, growing this area of their organization. I believe that to remain competitive, investment and expansion of the current football portfolio is necessary. Now, I know that some people, I see them regularly, are deeply uncomfortable with this idea. They have various reasons. I think some of them are, you know, moral. Some of them are more sort of nuts and bolts anxieties about spreading finances. The kind of guys who sometimes do the amateur accountancy to decent or horrible effect. My feeling about this, I'll start with you on this one, Cam, is that A, he's not coming back in the role that he was in before. It's going to be a different thing. And this thing now of how we need to go the same route as other clubs, the biggest clubs in the world, and have a kind of a secondary club, a feeder club, if not two, is going to be a very big and complex operation in and of itself. The overseeing of that, the setting in place structures that will be of benefit to Liverpool in the long term, because whether people like it or not, this is not an act of philanthropy. This is a self-centered business decision to enhance Liverpool Football Club. Or is it simply just FSG expanding? I mean, I doubt that. And if it is, Michael Edwards saying that it's a big part of his decision won't be exactly comforting to Liverpool fans either. There's lots of stuff to talk about here. It's not just as simple as either side who are in favor or against it make it seem. Where do you feel? What are you feeling about this? The return of Edwards? You'll have been part of all the WhatsApp chats during the week. The level of excitement was spectacular. I was surprised by it. People are genuinely chuffed because they really think this guy is going to make a massive, massive difference. They're more aware, perhaps, than some fans of the difference he made before and always had been. Where are you in terms of excitement level about this? And specifically then, if you don't mind, talk about this idea of the secondary club and the football portfolio.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.